You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of True Crime Time for Tuesday, November
19th.
And I'm Woody Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
And we're back in the saddle again, Mama.
Yes.
All right. We're going to bless them with some crime time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And hope everybody's doing well. We love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for liking and listening and sharing and leaving reviews and all that good podcaster shit.
Yes.
And
sure.
We just love y'all.
Yes.
Right? And it's almost Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah, and that it is. And I'm sure everybody's getting ready, and you got Black Friday and all of that. And for us hunters, we have hunting season.
Guess what I'm not doing this year?
What?
What do I do every
Black Friday shop?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you do it online. You don't go to Walmart anymore either. You have it delivered. Anyway.
I can Black Friday shop from the deer stand.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And anyways, exciting times and the holidays, they are what they are. And let's get down to some true crime time for Tuesday. Ladies first.
All right. Are we having tacos tonight? Because you have tacos every other night.
I had tacos last
night. And the night before.
And the night before.
And the night before.
I think we're having deer burritos tonight.
Yes. Day's deer burritos.
Yep. So let's lay it on.
Okay. This story really, really caught my attention because it shows such a change of thinking and the sign of the times. So I was a latchkey kid, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, but those are the kids that went home from school without a mommy or a daddy. A lot of the times it was single, you know, parent homes, and you literally had a key around your neck and you would unlock your door, go into your house, right? Yeah. I mean, we were.
The only difference for me is we never locked the door.
Right. Because you lived in Clinton,
yeah,
where you still don't really have to lock your door. But for me, I was six when this was happening. You know, it was a group of kids that walked home and we went into our houses and or apartments, and right, that was it. And yeah, nobody was called out for it. It wasn't against the law.
Right.
You know, we were walking over a mile to school.
Yep.
So like,
my dad would say it was 5 miles uphill both ways.
In snow.
We had no shoes.
Yeah. Yes. But so this really caught my eye because a Georgia mom was stunned, rightfully so, in my opinion, when police arrested her after her 10-year-old son walked less than a mile away from home by himself.
Yeah.
So Brittany Patterson is planning, obviously, to fight this charge of what they charged her with, reckless conduct. And if she's convicted, it will result in a year in jail.
Really?
So on October 30th, Patterson was taking another one of her children to a doctor's appointment, and her son, Soren, decided to walk to the store.
Okay. Okay.
And he's, you know, he knows the way there. He knows the way home. It's a quiet Georgia town. Their home is in Mineral Bluff. I tried to do a little bit of research on the size and stuff like that, but it was just quaint and whatever. So he walks to town, and then a little bit later, Patterson was notified by the Fannin County Sheriff's Office about her son's whereabouts. And she was like, in her head, she's thinking, well, this isn't super dangerous. It's not even dangerous. Like, it's just a straight stretch of the road. She said, I wasn't terrified for him or scared for his safety. So Soren, the little boy, was driven home by deputies and apologized for the miscommunication with his mother, because apparently he decided to go to the store, didn't really convey that to his mom. And so the police pick him up and take him home. And she feels like everything's fine. So she believed the ordeal was over. But however, 3 hours later, police showed up at her door and put handcuffs on her.
Really?
The news outlets were already there. And as she opens the door, I watched the video. As she opens the door and she's like asking the cops, like, why are you arresting me? And she tells the little boy, which I did not agree with. She says, call Ally or whatever is a man. Call him and let him know that I'm getting arrested for letting you walk because you chose to go to the store. Like, and the cop says, ma'am, this isn't your son's fault. Like, you know, it's on you. So I just didn't like the fact that the mother was like, I'm getting arrested because you chose to walk to the store.
Well, I don't think she was throwing shade on the kids. She was like, call the dude and tell them they're arresting me because of that.
Yeah. So after being arrested in front of her son, she was taken to jail and she had to change into the orange jumpsuit. And jail records confirmed that Patterson was arrested and released the same day. And she was released. And I know you don't like bonds don't matter, but it was only a $500 bond. Authorities have offered to drop the charge if she agrees to sign a safety plan that includes the use of a GPS tracker on her son's phone. And she said, I'm not doing it.
I don't blame her.
I'm not doing it. She says, I haven't done anything wrong. And I just feel like I can't sign this because what's it going to do for the future? For, I mean, it's just like setting a precedent. Now, then every parent's going to have to sign this. There was nothing unsafe about him walking by himself. That's it. And so Patterson is out of jail awaiting to see if prosecutors will indict her on the reckless conduct charge. The case has raised eyebrows about the expectations placed on parents and the definition of child independence. I did some research, and of course, Georgia does not have a specific law stating an age that a child can walk to and fro. You know, I mean, there's no law that says you're 10-year-old. But now, oh, it's also interesting to report from October 30th to the day that this happened, the child is now 11. He was 10 when he walked, but like he's already now 11. So he was close to that age. Patterson's attorney, you know, voice concerns about the implications of this case, and are all parents going to have to put GPS trackers?
You know, way leaning heavily towards that's stupid that they did that. But on the other side, you know, I've seen kids get missing and something could have happened to them. But that's a what if. What if a frog's ass was glass and it broke every time he jumped, right? But they didn't have to arrest her. I mean, they could have wrote her a ticket, a summons. A $500 bond is basically, you know, being booked in, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, write a fucking ticket and then see if the court's going to handle it. You don't have to handcuff somebody, take them in. And when you say change and show the orange jumpsuit, that means she got strip searched.
Yeah.
And all that bad shit that happens when you go to jail. And so I don't, you know, I think that could have been handled differently. I think they're going to be catching a lot of fucking heat for it. But at the same time, you know, some 10-year-olds are more mature than others and stuff like that. But I just can't believe there's not more to this backstory than just arrest mom because his kid walked to the store.
I know. And she was taking her other child to the doctor, which, and then he decides to walk to the store. So another adult, because the mom's the one that's charged, another adult obviously wasn't at the house with him.
Yeah,
well, anything
that
can happen at the house too.
I think in the state of Louisiana, they used to use the age of 11. as if you were 11, you could stay home by yourself, you know, for a little bit, not overnight.
Yeah.
Without a parent being there, without them, you know, throwing the book at you or raising eyebrows. But I don't know. I don't know what to say on that one.
I think that's why the news, why it was reported. He is now 11.
I don't know why the fucking news had to be at her house when she was arrested and all that. And I don't know why she had to get cuffed and stuffed and booked in. But that's going to be on them. And I think it's a really gray area. It's a interesting story. That's mm-hmm. for sure. I don't know what to say on that. I really, really don't. Interesting though. I think it's really, I don't know. It's kind of perplexing, mm-hmm. right?
So yeah.
Who knows? I know one thing. If they had done it to me, I probably would have resisted it as an illegal arrest, but then you got more charges.
She tried. I mean, she was like, why are you arresting me? When she,
no, I'm talking about like, motherfucker, you put your hands on me.
Right.
You know, y'all, in case you don't know, if there is an illegal arrest going on, you have a right to defend yourself. And but I'm not telling you what to do. So I don't know. But let's talk about a
worldwide crime.
This one's kind of easy as far as we do here on the True Crime Time 4 show. So, you know, it costs a lot of money to travel, especially mm-hmm. overseas and like, mm-hmm. you know, to go to Japan. How much do you think it costs to go to Tokyo?
$10,000.
I don't know, right? It'd be a lot. It's a long fucking ways to go.
Yeah.
So you go to Tokyo and you want to hang out and check out the Japanese shit. And I get that and whatever. Probably not going to do it myself. But there's a guy, Stephen Lee Hayes, who's 65. And he went to Tokyo.
Okay.
And he decided to leave a part of himself in Tokyo.
Oh, what part?
Well, his family's name. And he left it on the famed gate of a Tokyo shrine.
Oh, right? My goodness.
Yeah, and they really didn't appreciate it. So this 65-year-old American tourist was arrested in Japan for defacing the entrance to a famous shrine in Tokyo. And on Wednesday, November 13th, Stephen Lee Hayes, was arrested, but on suspicion of property damage. This according to Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department. And they told this to NBC News. And the day before his arrest, Hayes carved alphabet letters into a wooden pillar of an entrance. Check this out. This entrance is a traditional Japanese torii gate.
Uh-huh.
And it led to the Meiji Shrine in Tokyo's Shibuya Ward. Okay. So a shrine employee saw the carving and called the cops.
Right.
After that, the police viewed surveillance footage that saw Hayes carving the letters of his family's last name into the wooden pillar.
He's 65. Wait,
what do you think he used to carve it in there with? In a wooden pillar?
A knife?
Nope. He used his fingers. Fingernails.
He just like sat there
I got a splinter from the in my finger right now. Look how this image swelled up in the last 2 days.
Well, Woody, I can get it out.
I know you can get out later on, but I
being a Woody.
This is antique wooden shrine, and homie carves the initials in with his fingers. Right?
Not 16. He's 65.
65. So this Meiji Shrine was first opened in 1920, and it was dedicated to the Emperor Meiji, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, and his wife, Empress Shokan, who had died in the previous decade, according to CNN. So this story made national headlines, right? Worldwide wide headlines.
So get Woody some buttons.
This gate was actually destroyed during World War II, and it was rebuilt in the 1950s. And so the cops go to Hayes Hotel, and they arrest him. But he had just arrived in Tokyo on that Monday with his family for the vacation.
Oh, his family was with him.
Yeah. It's, come on, man.
Oh, my. I mean.
Well, listen to this. If he gets convicted in Japan for that, he gets up to 3 years in prison and has a fine of 300,000 yen, which is $1,900 for us, y'all, for the bad list.
I'm assuming Japanese jails aren't the best for, especially for Americans.
I mean, it's not a third world country.
Well, I know, but in China, it's not a third world country either, and they're not going to be too China, nice. Kind of,
well, they...
You know what I mean?
Coming out from being third world. Yeah. But it's not going to be nice because you're not going to be able to speak the language and all that shit. I never looked up Japanese jails.
But like you said, he's there with his family. He's 65. No, that's an expensive trip, but that shows money can't buy you class.
No, you're right. The money definitely can't buy you class and like recess, no class or like. Summer break, right? No class.
Yeah.
And his ass is in a crack. And he got made famous worldwide for being a dumbass.
Can you imagine someone going up to like, I don't know, one of our Washington memorials?
Yeah, like the tomb of the unknown soldier and carving your name into it?
No.
Like, come on, man.
Defacing, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. So. Anyway. I mean, it's not a stupid story. It's an interesting story to see what people think that they could go and get away with.
Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes. Your body goes through it, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? It's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90. It's heavy duty. It's awesome. And it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. I mean, what the fuck? All right, you roll with it.
Okay, so a couple years ago, there was a fire in Philadelphia where a young girl went missing.
Okay.
And so I'm just giving you that prelude in case you have any questions. I'm going to get to all of the answers that you're going to have. So let me tell my story. So there's a new docuseries coming out about this story. And it's a crazy story. But it all began with a fire at a Philadelphia home of Luz Cuevas and Pedro Vera in December of 1996. The fire ravaged the home and destroyed the second floor bedroom where the couple's 10-day-old daughter, Delamar, was sleeping. Authorities... I don't know how they did this, but authorities assume the infant perished in the blaze.
If they
didn't find the remains, you can't assume that.
Oh, so they didn't find it.
No. Right. However, Cuevas, who never believed her daughter died in the fire, kept searching for answers. 6 years later, while attending...
They didn't have the body?
No. They just said she died.
Oh, that's fucking...
So while attending a birthday party, she saw a young girl named Aaliyah, and was convinced that it was her child, Delamar. And the Delamar speaking now, this is a quote from her. "I have dimples and all of my siblings have dimples." Delamar, who's now 26, said in a recent interview... That was the first giveaway from her. She always says blood calls, so she could sense that I was hers. And she's speaking, of course, of her mom, who never gave up believing that her daughter was alive. So confident in her maternal instincts, Cuevas took a strand of the little girl's hair and brought it to the police and requested a DNA test. Huh. Before the test, Delamar recalled a memory of a woman who she believed to be her mother, Carolyn Correa, C-O-R-R-E-A, spraying some kind of substance in her mouth. She later learned that the substance was Correa's saliva. So the police have this strain of hair to do a DNA test. They go to Correa to get a DNA test swab from her, the little girl, but she puts her own saliva in the little girl's mouth. I'm just making sure that I'm telling the story correctly this time. Half. Okay, I'm just making sure that I'm being concise. So DNA testing confirmed that Delamar was indeed Cuevas' daughter. For 6 years, Delamar had been living with Correa and her family in Willingboro, New Jersey, just 15 miles from her biological home in Philadelphia. Delamar soon returned to live with her mother, and Correa was arrested and charged with kidnapping. She was convicted and sentenced to 30 years in prison. Wow. At first, it was really exciting, Delamar said, about the attention the case received and the cameras and the gifts, but then it became too much. And then, you know, she had to hide from all the cameras and all the like all of the paparazzi, whatever. So they'd have to go in through the backyard and hide and stuff like that. So she's now sharing her story in the 3-episode documentary, The Hand That Robbed the Cradle. In an interview about the film, she revealed that the experience led to a real identity crisis. They said, "She's back. It's done. We have a happy ending. But I don't know who to be," Delamar explained. She said, "I tried to pick my new family's mannerisms to make it seem like I was never kidnapped. But I was also mourning my old family. When I was a child, I felt like I had two moms. It wasn't until I was 11 or 12 when reality actually set in." So she's faced significant emotional challenges after her return to her biological mom. And at one point, she moved in with her father, who had separated from Cuevas after the conflict. So she ended up actually in a group home at the age of 15. So for a long time, she said, "I felt unworthy, undeserving of certain things." By age 20, Delamar began to overcome her victim mentality. She said, "I got sick of feeling sorry for myself. You come to realize that not everybody is going to feel as bad for you as you do for yourself. You have to accept that and do better." So today, Delamar is married and lives with her husband, Isaiah, and her 11-year-old stepson in Philadelphia. She still remains in close relationship with both sets of parents and speaking to them multiple times a week. They don't know why Correa was kidnapped, but she said, I don't feel like I need to sit down and have that conversation with Correa because I've learned a lot of things about Carolyn and how her mind works. I don't know if it's going to be the truth. There's no way. She took me out of a two-story home by herself. So Delamar shares more of her journey in the documentary, The Hand That Robbed the Cradle, which explores...
She's worried about the publicity, and she did a three-part docuseries. She's really going to be hounded.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know why, if you're still in contact with the one who kidnapped you, why wouldn't you say, why did you do it?
I know. I think, what's it called when kidnappers, the people that are kidnapped?
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
I don't know. I think this is more of a, you know, she was raised since she was 10 months old. That's the only biological. 10 days old. So that's the only biological mom she ever had. 10 days old. How the fuck you live a 10-day-old at home?
Well, the house fire, the baby was upstairs on the second floor, so they...
I don't understand.
I know.
How the fuck do you get a 10-day into the second floor of my house and steal my 10-day-old?
In a fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody knows. Something's not right.
I know. I know.
I might be calling a red flag bullshit on it, but I mean, I hate that it happened to her. If something doesn't pass a smell test. Really doesn't pass a smell test on the cops.
That the baby perished?
Again, you know what? I don't know. I don't think that that's going to be the end of that. None of that passes a smell test for me.
I 150% agree.
If I was a cop, I'd be like, I mean, unless they're just fucking wrong. If the story was different, because especially after this docuseries comes out, they're going to bust her. They're going to bust the cops' asses. And if they didn't do it, then, I mean, I've worked so many burned bodies, and they always look like a burnt marshmallow.
Yeah.
Cracked, and but instead of the white underneath, it's the yellow fat that you see, and even including little babies in cribs and stuff, and your shit just doesn't evaporate.
Look, like even in 9/11, they were digging up particles of bone. I mean, it's horrible. Like, there's no reason why nothing should have been left of that baby. And as a mama, I would have been saying, give me something. I need to see my baby.
I don't disagree with you on that. And I mean, you got to have something to bury.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the crazy ass fact, she said at a birthday party in season. Interesting story. I'm sure it'll make for an interesting documentary. But, yeah, I just go back on those documentaries between the Menendez brothers and Scott Peterson's shit. And y'all, I know I've been doing Scott Peterson's story and Scorch for obvious reasons on the original Real Life Real Crime. I don't know how these motherfuckers, not this lady, but these other motherfuckers even get a documentary. It's such bullshit, and it's so jaded from one side.
One-sided.
That's why I'm telling them the truth about Scott Peterson.
Right.
On the State versus Peterson scores.
But, yeah. I don't even think they should be allowed to call it a docu-whatever. It should be like a telenovela, whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, it sells, and you know, people will watch them, that's for sure, so... Anyway, let's do another
worldwide crime.
So let's go to England.
Okay.
Tommy Cox, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's from.
Tommy Thompson Cox.
Our buddy. Well, the Northamptonshire police in England. Well, they found a lady, Harishita Brella, earlier this month. She was dead. Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And they believe that Pankaj Lamba killed her.
Okay.
Right? And they were married, actually. Okay. So authorities in England are looking for the man who...
He ran like a little bitch.
After murdering his 24-year-old wife and leaving her body in the trunk of a car. Goodness. It said it. In the early hours of Thursday, November the 14th, North Hampshire police discovered the body of a hair sheet umbrella in the trunk of a car in the Ilford area of London. And the discovery came a day after the Northamptonshire police received a call about the woman's welfare. Remember, we always talk about these welfare checks.
Yep.
Authorities launched a missing persons investigation after arriving at Brella's home in Corby and not hearing from her. And after Brella's body was found, an autopsy conducted at the Leicester Royal Infirmary established that she had been murdered, right? Mm-hmm. So the Northamptonshire police say that they suspect Brella's husband, Pankaj Lamba, of killing her earlier in the month in Northamptonshire before hauling her body to Ilford by car, all right? Police also believe that Lamba, whom they have shared a photo of on social media,
he ran like a little bitch
and he fled the country. So now more than 60 detectives are working on the case, going house to house and using CCTV footage and conducting property searches in an effort to piece together exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They say, I urge anyone listening to or reading the statement that if you saw anything suspicious in the past week or have any information, no matter how small, please contact us. We would always rather receive well-meaning information that turns out to be nothing as opposed to not receiving it all, right?
Yeah.
And so the Northamptonshire police said that local neighborhood officers will continue to patrol the area in Corby in the coming days for reassurance, as anyone with any concerns is welcome to approach one of these officers who will be happy to help. I guess this murder didn't happen a lot there. They said, I want to express my heartfelt condolences to everyone who loved Harrisheet Umbrella, Detective Chief Inspector Johnny Campbell from the East Midland Special Operations Major Crime Unit said, that's a mouthful, said in a statement as police announced the suspect. She was a young woman in her early 20s with her whole life ahead of her, and it's absolutely tragic that her life has been cut short in this way. And the detectives from EMSOU and Northamptonshire Police are working around the clock to establish the circumstances behind her death, including the exact location and time frame in which it took place. And officials from the Metropolitan Police are also assisting the investigation. And in a video shared on Facebook on November 17th, Northamptonshire Police Chief Inspector Paul Cash described the circumstances surrounding Brella's murder as absolutely tragic. And that's kind of crazy. What's this dude think he's going to get? I mean, 60 detectives working on it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, this dude looks like he's not really from England.
No.
So I'm sure he's down in India or somewhere doing his shit, but you can't outrun that murder warrant, homie. They're going to get you, even though you
ran like a little bitch.
That's right.
That's it.
Okay.
Kill your wife, stuff in the trunk of a car, and flee the country. Let me know how it works out for you.
Yeah. I hope they get him.
They'll get him.
I just hope they do. Okay. Well, are you familiar? This is like a touchy subject, but are you familiar with the furry community?
The only reason I ever heard anything about that was when we did the Daily Show. Aga did some story about these furry people at a convention or some shit like that.
Yeah. Well,
so no, I'm not familiar.
I don't know a furry. I just hear stories of like teachers dealing with the furries, their furry students, you know, and apparently like schools are putting in litter boxes and bathrooms for their furry students to go potty in,
It's too fucking much. That's why we need our country to be different.
Yeah. So this is not that. Well, it's kind of that, but okay. So A California man was convicted on November 12th for his role in the murder of three individuals.
Okay.
Including the parents of a teenager he became obsessed with after they met through the furry community. So this is a brief description of like a furry community. So the furry community consists of individuals who have an interest in anthropomorphic animals, barely say that, characters with human traits often seen in cartoons and artwork. Participants might dress up in colorful costumes representing their favorite characters and create and share artwork. Many members build strong friendships through the conventions and online forums, and the culture promotes creativity and expression.
Whatever.
Okay, so getting to the story. Frank Sato Felix, 33, was found guilty of three counts of first-degree murder and three felony enhancements for multiple murders. What's a felony enhancement?
Under a certain age, over a certain age, like weapons, rape added to it,
okay.
Things like that.
Okay. So his accomplice, Joshua Charles Acosta, who was the trigger man, had been convicted of the same charges and is already currently serving his life sentence.
All right.
So according to prosecutors, Jennifer Goodwill Yost introduced her 17-year-old daughter to the furry community, where she met Felix, who was then 25, and Acosta, a 20-year-old army mechanic. Acosta was an army mechanic, and despite the guidelines that her parents gave her to stay away from Felix, the teenager, of course, decided she was still going to. And Felix went by the name Entey, and they grew romantically involved. So she's 17, he's 25.
Okay.
Felix expressed strong feelings and messages stating that the girl was the one and only thing that makes me happy. But they were not allowed to be together. So Felix and Acosta devised a plan to help the teenager escape from her home until she turned 18.
Okay.
Felix and Acosta entered the Yost Fullerton home, where Acosta fatally shot Jennifer while she slept in her bed. Christopher Yost was shot in the head as he attempted to escape outside, and the couple's friend, Arthur William Boucher, who was killed while sleeping on the couch. After the murders, Acosta fled the scene while Felix and the teen drove to Felix's home, where they attempted to destroy their cell phones and burn their clothing to evade detection.
Trying to hide their shit.
So, it was the couple's 6-year-old daughter who called 911 the next morning, reporting that her mother is dead on the bed and her father is dead in the backyard. When officers arrived, two young girls, ages 6 and 9, were standing on the front porch of the residence. Sergeant Radis of the Fullerton Police Department described the crime scene as grisly, emphasizing, of course, the profound impact on the children who woke up expecting to see their parents.
Jeez.
Felix was apprehended in Sun Valley, California, while Acosta was taken into custody at Fort Irwin, California. And Felix's defense argued that he was only trying to assist the girl in escaping her parents and had no prior knowledge of Acosta's lethal intentions.
That's fucking...
I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts to spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser-cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's-eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan, wax-infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh-cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had three different meals. I had a Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire. But this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We've got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked, and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
I got nothing to say about that. I mean, it's just fucking so off the wall.
So off the wall.
Evil exists. Hell is real. And it's hot. You know, I don't know. I mean, I hate it for the victims.
And those poor little girls now have nothing.
I mean, yeah, murder affects a lot more people than the victims. Yeah. It affects everybody that loves them on both sides, even bad people.
Yeah, you're right.
People that love them.
You're right.
And it's just, I don't know, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm probably going to end this episode with this next story.
Okay.
And this is fucking so, it's just so wild. Well, there's this lady, and she had at least six kids.
Old lady who lived in a shoe.
No. And she's from Utah.
Okay.
One of my favorite places. And over a decade, she killed six of her newborn children
And now she's serving 3 life sentences in prison. But that's not what, I mean, it's bad, but listen to what happened. So she had had the kids and she had a kid and it only lived for minutes before she would choke the kid to death, the baby. And when she got pregnant again, she killed that baby too. And over the course of a decade, starting in 1996, she killed 6 of her newborn children.
Wait.
I'm about to really fuck you up.
Okay.
Her name is Huntsman, her last name. And she kept the victims' bodies. Wait for it. Wrapped in plastic in a makeshift mausoleum in her garage.
Oh.
This according to the Utah County Attorney's Office. Prosecutors say she killed each baby within minutes of giving birth to them, and that immediately after, she would choke or smother the baby, sometimes wrapping a ligature around the infant's neck, but most often by pressing on their throats with her thumbs until they stopped breathing, right? And after she choked them to death, she stashed the bodies in various boxes and containers in her garage in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Now, according to the prosecutors, Huntsman later told investigators that she had killed her 6 babies because she was too messed up on meth to take care of them.
No, she's sicker than that.
Fuck me. But wait, here we go. A seventh baby was also found in the garage, but this one was a stillborn. And this was according to the New York Times back in 2014, the year of her arrest. I don't know how I've never heard of this lady. And yet another strange turn of events. Relatives and neighbors say they never guessed the woman was pregnant, claiming Huntsman, who was a slight woman and weighed just 105 pounds, managed to successfully hide the 7 pregnancies. And her friend said they thought she had just gained a little weight.
And then she'd lose it.
She's doing fucking meth. You're never going to gain the weight.
Well, who was helping her do the births?
I don't know.
Who was getting her pregnant?
But the woman did not hide every pregnancy. At the time of her arrest, Huntsman had 3 living daughters. 2 born before the killing spree began, and 1 in the midst of it.
I don't understand.
I know. Those close to Huntsman told New York Times that she claimed she was the victim of domestic abuse, although local police said there were no complaints of domestic violence at the home. There were seemingly several missed opportunities by officials to catch the mom over the course of her decade of killing. Federal drug enforcement officers had searched the home in 2005, a year before the last killing. And while investigating her husband, Darren Brad West, but by the time of her arrest, they were estranged. The officers found evidence of drugs in the garage, but missed the deceased babies also hidden there. Holy fuck. Now, I could tell you, I can remember like one trailer we searched and, you know, looking for data. It was like a hoarder's place and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you had to dig through piles and piles mm-hmm. and piles of shit, but you dug through everything. I don't know how you missed 6, no, or 7 dead babies.
I don't. And especially if they're like in the boxes, like a mausoleum. Right. I don't know.
A year later, West pled guilty to 2 drug possession charges and was sentenced to 9 years in prison. And just 2 weeks after his indictment, someone anonymously reported to Utah's Division of Child and Family Services that Huntsman was using methamphetamine. But the department, when New York Times asked the cops about it, they declined to elaborate on or if how social workers responded, citing confidentiality in the case. That's called covering your
ball.
Fucking ass. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about that. If they had done it and they had done something good on it, they'd certainly be talking about it. Finally, in 2014, West's relatives were searching in the garage when they came upon 7 tiny plastic wrapped, heavily decaying bodies. Following her arrest, Huntsman was held at the Utah County Jail and placed on suicide watch. And on February 12, 2015, Huntsman, who was then 40, pled guilty to 6 counts of first-degree murder. And later that year, she was sentenced to 6 life sentences, 3 of them consecutive, and sent to a Utah State Correctional Facility where she was assigned offender number 221913. I have no fucking idea how this happened. She actually has a parole hearing.
What?
But it's not until 2064.
Is it because...
She'll be dead by then, probably, huh? She'd probably be dead by then, too.
She...
At that time, she would be 89 years old.
Do you think she pled guilty to... do they have...
Oh, they have the motherfucking death penalty in Utah. They still use the firing squad.
Well, and they shouldn't have given her the option.
Why would you have to use a ligature on a newborn's neck?
I'm actually very, 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 very sick from that story.
That is one of the most fucking twisted stories we've ever done.
Look, truly.
Just when y'all thought you were going to get away safely because we did a story about fingernails and, you know, you did the one bad story. And
yeah.
I did a story about whatever. And then we blushed with the knowledge from the College of Crime on Huntsman.
I'm really not exaggerating. I'm sick. That's evil. That is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's, but hey, it's a meth.
Yeah. I'm on meth domestic violence.
Meth is bad. Murdering your 6 babies and not even acting like you're pregnant. I'm sure she's one of those cases where they do it themselves, you know, have the baby themselves.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Because fuck her. That bitch. I hope y'all, I gave the inmate number. Now there's Ryder. A lot of sick fucks out there who will write her and try to marry her and shit. But I gave it. So if you want to drop this old girl a line and tell her what you think about her, I mean, if I wasn't so fucking busy, I'd do it myself.
If I thought
it actually meant something, I would do it.
And she probably won't read it, or she probably doesn't even care. Hopefully she's getting help that she needs and does care.
Fuck her. She's going to die in prison. After you kill 6 of your own brand new babies, I don't believe you deserve help. I believe you deserve a bullet. And that's it. No one. Leave it on that note. And I'm Woody Overton.
Thank you. Enjoy y'all's Taco Tuesday. I don't know what to say.
You're supposed to say I'm Cindy Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
Now, real quick, go download the Real Life Real Crime Community app, free from the App Store. It has all the episodes and all the merchandise and forums and everything else. Hashtag Justice for Haley comes out on Friday. We have a ton of videos and photographs and everything put up so far, but there's a whole lot more that are going to be put up for Patreon and convicts. You can't share them. Murder is bad, and murder is never nice. It's never easy. And we want to get justice for Haley's family, for Miss Barbara and Stella and Tyler. And it's so important that y'all share that episode. I really, really believe we can do it with your help, but yes. We got to tell the story first.
Yes.
And this story is not fucking easy.
No. But
anyway, till next time, till Wednesday, hump day.
Yeah.
And we'll see you tomorrow, or you'll hear us tomorrow. And we're out. Peace.
Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.